This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Seven. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. Tonight you're joined by Dil and Vic.
Hey guys.
And we've got a really, really exciting show for you tonight.
As per usual.
Yep. And at any point you want to join in the conversation, let us know your thoughts. Feel free to text in on 0427-JOY-949. And or maybe even let us know what you got up to on the weekend. Hey Vic, what did you get up to?
Well, as you can probably hear, I'm a bit sick at the moment. I didn't have a voice from about Thursday through till I just got it back really yesterday.
Yeah.
I think it's working well for me though. I'm getting a lot of head turning and people glancing my way. So.
Oh yeah.
But other than that, no, I just hung out with my nephew.
Yep.
Chilled out, watched a bit of Thomas the Tank Engine. So I was pretty happy with that. What about you, Dil?
I had a friend's wedding on Friday night, and then I had this like startling realization that like my friends are getting married. Wow.
We're getting old.
I'm getting to that point. Like, because I had like a lot of, I went to high school in Queensland on the Gold Coast, and like I dealt with like all my friends having kids, like, you know, earlier in life, like while I was still in high school. So the friends getting married is just a different thing for me.
It's a bit of, yeah, it does throw you off. It's a new chapter in life.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, and I, you know how I'm like the most graceful non-coordinated person in the world.
Of course.
Yep. So I fell down some stairs as well when I first got there. That was probably the highlight of the night.
In your tuxedo? Were you in a tuxedo?
No, I was just wearing, you know, something simple but still dressed up.
See, that's the difference between, was it like an Aussie wedding?
Yeah, it was an Aussie wedding.
So cash.
Yeah.
I really want to go to one. I've never been to one.
Well, even the vows, like, it wasn't what I was expecting from, like, a wedding.
You should go to a Greek wedding. There's no vows. There's just the Greek priest talking and you standing there for a good, I don't know, it's about half an hour's worth of a service.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you just sit there. You don't have a clue what he's saying because it's ancient Greek. And, yeah, you just kind of hang out and there's no talking. The bride and the groom do not speak. There's no vows. You do your speech at the ceremony and that's it, at the reception.
Wow.
Yeah. But then you get to Greek dance and smash plates and all that kind of crap.
I do like smashing plates, I have to say.
It's good luck.
Yeah? Is it really?
It's supposed to be good luck.
Breaking plates, good luck. That works well for me because I'm a klutz, Vic. I smash stuff even when I don't mean to smash stuff.
I know you.
Yeah, so does that mean I'm like super lucky?
No.
No? Damn it.
There might be a program out there for klutzy people like you.
Oh my God, and I could find myself. Hey, we've got Labor candidate for the seat of Melbourne coming up shortly, Kath Botel. So,
pretty excited to speak to her. She seems pretty cool. We spoke to her just before we entered the studio. I really like her already. I was just like, oh, we're going to speak to a politician. And then I got to speak to her a little bit. She's pretty cool.
Yeah, she has a really generous smile. And
she seems very genuine.
Yes, she does.
And we'll answer your questions no matter how tough, I noticed, which was quite impressive on my behalf.
We've got, if you want to join in on that conversation, start thinking about some questions and text in on 0427-JOY-949 because, we want to hear from you and Kath wants to answer your questions
She'll definitely be happy to answer them. Like I said, she's very good. She doesn't divert the question.
No, she doesn't. She actually takes it on pretty well. And she gives a nice story with it too.
I like that.
I like a good story. Hey, it's 9 minutes past seven. We've got some brand new music for you. This one's called Drop It by Sonic Boom.
Boom, baby.
Boom. You listen to Generation Next.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. It's 14 minutes past 7 and you're joined tonight with Dil and Vicky.
Joining us right now is Kath Botel, Labour candidate for the seat of Melbourne. Late last year, Botel was unanimously endorsed by the Senate Selection Committee. She's lived in Melbourne for almost 30 years. Her children attend a local government schools, and Kath herself has been an active member of various local committees, most recently at North Melbourne Primary School, and before that supporting the Community Legal Service and the local childcare centre.
Kath Bell has worked as an advocate for fairness and fighting for reforms in the Labor tradition all of her working life, securing better protections against discrimination at work, improving the support available for workers with family responsibilities, and securing the right for workers to bargain collectively. Kath worked to abolish work choices and was the ACTU negotiator in developing the Fair Work Act. She's turned her focus now to young LGBTI people, and tonight she's here on Generation Next to talk to us. If you have any questions for MP Kath Bell, text in on 0427 Joy 949.
So Kath, first off, thanks for stopping by.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
And I'd just like to say, what plans and policies do you have for young LGBTI people in the seat of Melbourne?
Yeah, so look, there's obviously I'm standing as a Labor candidate, so we've got national policies and then there's things that we can do locally. Nationally, you know, Labor has been working hard, I guess, on behalf of the LGBTI community on a range of fronts, and we've just put some legislation into the Parliament to eliminate discrimination at the national level on the basis of sexual preference, sexual orientation and sexual identity, and that's really important reform. It's not everything that everybody wants and we've still got work to do there, but it's something that we promised that we would do and we're determined to get that through the Parliament. More specifically, I guess there's things that we're doing that are more closely aligned with young people. The policies around linking more schools funding to having decent anti-bullying and safe schools programs in schools is important, and I think it's important that we move not just from anti-bullying to actually actively promoting safe schools. The Victorian Labor government had a fabulous program which is across about 100 schools, but we need to extend that further so that it's about young people feeling safe in their school environment, because we know, you know, 60% of young people will feel harassed or intimidated because of their sexuality in their school environment, and that's just not on. It's also about service provision. We've rolled out more headspace in school and e-headspace, but we need to do more in that area for LGBTI young people in Melbourne.
Have you? What kind of experience have you had with the LGBTI community?
So I have been, I'm a member of Rainbow Labor, which is the LGBTI network within the Labor Party, which is open to all members of the Labor Party. But my advocacy around LGBTI issues really started when I was at the Australian Council of Trade Unions working on anti-discrimination policies at work. And we did a lot of work around extending access to family and carers leave arrangements to same-sex couples, making sure that the workplace laws were not only available to opposite-sex couples or married couples. And we actually got quite a bit of traction there. I was involved in the ACTU's submissions, writing the submissions to the really large inquiry that Graham Innes ran, what was probably nearly 10 years ago now. So I've been involved in advocating around that. And one of the things I was really pleased was when we changed the Fair Work Act, we brought in the Fair Work Act, for the first time ever, we outlawed discrimination at work on the basis of sexual orientation. But we didn't just make it illegal at work. What we actually did was we said, no longer do you have to rely on anti-discrimination law, so the person who feels discriminated against has to stand up and say, hey, I'm being discriminated against and I'm going to take a case. They can now say to the Fair Work Ombudsman, which is like the discrimination police, I think I'm being discriminated against. Could you please come and investigate whether it's happening? And if you think it's happening, could you please take my boss on? So it's actually about not making the person who feels discriminated against have to do all the work to prove their discrimination. It was saying, here's a place you can go to, you can make your complaint, and someone else will do that work for you. And I was really, really pleased that we got that in.
That is really,
really huge improvement.
Because I think a lot of people, if they were being discriminated against, would feel intimidated perhaps, or second-guessing whether they should report it. And you know,
it's so hard to come forward. And if you're the person who then has to lodge the complaint, run the case, you know, get someone to help you run the case, you have to find the proof, all the rest of it. Yeah. It relies on the person being resilient enough to do that, angry enough to do that,
persistent,
supported enough to do that.
Yeah.
And this is about saying, no, just as, you know, if you are working in an unsafe workplace, you can go and say, this is unsafe. it's the government's responsibility to protect me from that, not my own responsibility to protect me from that. Same with discrimination. If there's discrimination at work, it's the government's responsibility to protect you from that. And that's what we did with the Fair Work Act. We said it's responsibility of all of us as the community to have an agency that will protect you from that.
That's awesome.
What was implementing that like? How much traction was involved to get to make those changes to reforms? Because it doesn't seem like an easy task.
Look, it's not. And moving away from a sort of a anti-discrimination to a requirement to treat people equally, which is really what you're doing there, is still a work in progress. And I think if you... I don't know how many of your listeners have been following the debate that we had about bringing together all of the anti-discrimination legislation in the country, but we were trying to bring together age discrimination, sex discrimination, race discrimination, all into one bill. Lots and lots of opposition to that. And it's, you know, it's a pretty uncontroversial thing that we should have a good, strong, robust set of anti-discrimination legislation where the individual is empowered to make the complaint and if we can go further, actually have an agency to help. But, you know, reform is really hard. Reform is always hard, and you're always having to pick your battles, take some wins, lock them in, grab them, inoculate them from attack the next time round. And that's, you know, that's what you do. And sometimes, you know, I can't believe it's nearly 10 years since we did that work, but you get it over it.
The discrimination laws would vary from state to state, so you guys were trying to make it a national... a complete national bill.
So there's actually two things. So you've got federal laws. We had a race law, a sex law, an age law, etc. We want to put them all in one.
Yep.
There's also still state laws, and they're all different as well. So there's really two lots of harmonisation you could do.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
As long as they're all tidied up, I know there's always loopholes here and there. That's why the cases are different in each state. So I think to try and make that happen would take a lot of time out of people.
And so we haven't succeeded this time around at the federal level, but that's one of the things, if you ask me what I'd be advocating for if I'm successful, is to continue that process of getting those anti-discrimination laws in a much tidier shape and really harmonising up to the highest common standard rather than the lowest
common
standard.
Yes, of course.
Last election, the Greens Party took the seat of Melbourne. Why should the LGBTI community cast their vote to yourself and the Labor Party for the seat of Melbourne?
Well, I think there's a couple of things to say about that. I mean, ultimately, at an election, you're electing the government. You're not sending a message to people here and there. You're electing the government. And on September 14, people will be deciding, the country will decide, whether Tony Abbott is the Prime Minister and the Liberal National Party coalition are in government, or whether Labor is in government. That's the decision that people are making. So I think that people need to think about that in Melbourne when they cast their ballot, that it's important that you're actually thinking about who you want to be in government. And you can't, I don't think most people in Melbourne would want a Liberal government. I think that there are a lot of destructive policies that Tony Abbott has said that he would implement if he were in government, including getting rid of carbon pricing and getting rid of the mining tax and a whole lot of other things that I don't think people in Melbourne want to see happen. So I think that's the first thing that people need to think about. I think that the period of minority government hasn't really been a period that has been a successful period of government, although Labor, I think, has enacted a lot of fantastic legislation, and there's more to come with the National Disability Insurance Scheme and other things. Tony Abbott's been able to use it to undermine confidence in our public institutions, and I don't think that that's been a good thing. So if you want a Labor government, I think you've got to vote for a Labor candidate and put a Labor representative into the parliament. Also, really, you can only do things when you are in government. The Greens are not in government, and in fact they walked away from their agreement with the Labor Party. They are able to advocate for things, as anyone can, but they're not making the decisions. The decisions are made in the cabinet room and in the Labor caucus, or if the Liberal National Party are in government, they're made in their caucus room. And you want someone who can be in there where the decisions are made, at the decision-making table on your behalf, and that's why I think people should vote for a Labor candidate if they want a Labor government.
I vote Labor. I'm just going to put it out there. Going back to the last election where you gained the most number of votes, however, the Liberal Party gave their preference to the Greens, which in turn resulted in Labor missing out on claiming victory. How confident do you feel in the people will vote Labor for the seat of Melbourne?
Look, I think that there's a lot of people in Melbourne who haven't made up their mind how they're going to vote, and over the next 6 months I've got a job to do to convince them to put me number one on their ballot paper and not someone else. You're right that in Melbourne, preferences matter because it's unlikely that anyone will get more than 50% on their own. And so the appeal that you have to make is to all voters. You can't say to some people, you're Libs, I'm not talking to you, or you're Greens, I'm not talking to you. The appeal you have to make is to all the voters in the electorate. I think that's your responsibility in any electorate anyway. So am I confident? No, but I think that the argument is there to be had with people. The discussion is there to be had with people as to why Labor deserves to be re-elected. And now I'll be talking to people about schools funding, about National Disability Insurance Scheme, about protecting the carbon price, and about the things that we want to do further.
There's room to persuade.
There's room to persuade,
yeah,
I hope.
All right.
Yeah.
That's all that matters then.
Yep.
Kath, thank you so much for that. And if anyone has anything else they'd like to comment on that, feel free to send us a message on our Facebook, or you can look up Kath on social media. You're on Facebook, is that correct?
I'm on Facebook and Twitter, and I'm going to have a website soon, but it's not quite there. I'm relying all on volunteers. So I've got some great young people volunteering for me, but we haven't quite got the website up yet.
All right, yeah. Well, watch this space. There'll be more to come. We've got some brand new music for you on Generation X. This is Show Yourself from Kenzie from Welly. Let us know what you think.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Hi, this is Marsha Hines, and you're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
It's 7:30, and this is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. Tonight you're joined by Dil and Vic.
What's going on, guys?
Everything's going on. And I found this out when we were talking with the Monday Drive team before the show. Ellen's in just around the corner from us.
Apparently so. I'm ready to raid the hotel.
So am I. And Ellen, if by any chance you are listening to Generation Next, or if any of our Generation Next listeners are on Twitter right now, you should totally hit up Ellen and Portia on the Twitter sphere and get them to maybe come into Joy or onto Generation Next, you know? How cool would it be you hearing us talk to them?
It would be actually kind of awesome. I actually don't think I know what to say.
I honestly, I'll go back to exactly what I said during Monday Manic Drive. I would just want to know that she thinks I'm cool. That's it. I just
want to think. You want her approval.
I want Ellen's approval. Ellen's approval would actually, I think I would feel much better about my life.
I think I just want to see Portia de Rossi. Or actually, I would love to video Ellen just doing that dance that she does on her show.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yo, pop it like it's hot.
Would you jump in the video with her?
I probably would. I would start dugging next to her or something. But I'd like to know, she's just hanging out here. Like, how long is she here for?
I'm not entirely sure how long she's here for. I hope it's a while.
Yeah, because I was going to say, Portia de Rossi's from Australia, so
yeah,
isn't she
from Geelong?
Oh, Geelong, mate.
Yeah. Geelong, you long time.
So I think she'd be, man, all I can say is private jet. I just want to ride.
Yeah.
That's all I want. Possibly be on the show with her.
That'd be awesome.
That would be pretty cool. I mean, she calls everybody out from the audience anyway. I'll be happy to be in the audience.
I think it's just a sick job that, like, you know, every day you just get to dance for 5 minutes with people.
Give away prizes.
Yeah.
They're, like, probably sponsored anyways. It's not like it's really coming out of your pocket.
But you get to give the idea that you're giving.
That's right. Well, she does give. Let's not forget, she does give.
She does give a lot, yeah.
She does, yeah, it's a lot of things. And she does, her show's always fun, but she always, when there's a story to be told, she definitely, like the bullying, suicide stories. And
And she can stand up for herself as well, like with JC Penney, when they were saying, if you take away, if you put Ellen as an ambassador, you know, we're going to take away us shopping at JC Penney because it goes against our beliefs. And then Ellen said, well, I'll just let you know my beliefs.
Yeah.
And it was like, she believes in, you know, freedom from discrimination, a loving family, and like just a list of really positive things.
Good on them. That's what I say. Good on them.
It's 27 minutes to 8. I think it's time for some gay school.
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside. It's Gay School.
Ah, the birds are chirping.
Birds are chirping. We know it's evening. That doesn't work.
Do you know what I noticed though? now that daylight savings is nearly over, it just keeps, obviously it keeps getting darker and darker. I'm not that naive. But in saying that, it's kind of depressing that like by 5:30, 6 o'clock now, the sun is already gone and it's just kind of dusk. And as much as I hate summer, I'm upset about losing
the sunlight.
Half my day.
I don't like it either. And oh, my shirt just came unbuttoned.
Just saw Dylan's nipple.
It's all for you, Vic. It's all for you. A state marriage bill facing roadblocks. Concerns about a draft bill for state-based same-sex marriage in New South Wales have been raised, with fears for the bill's chances of surviving a high court challenge and claims the legislation in its current form discriminates against intersex people. However, any amendment to the bill could endanger its chances of surviving a high court challenge. Organisation Intersex International Australia, or OII, President Gina Wilson, said the bill's name should be changed as it will not result in full marriage equality. Wilson's been quoted in saying, "The proposed act does little to clarify the issues facing intersex people. It confounds me that those drawing up the current batch of marriage laws proposals find it so difficult to include intersex people." Now, for people who don't know what intersex is where you are born with both genders, or you can develop it from a female gender into a male gender.
I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah, it is. It's part of the wide and craziness of the human body. And what the human body's capable of.
Just to add to the list. Just to add it to the list.
Yeah, and it's quite difficult for intersex people to get recognition and to get support because they're just kind of... It's the same with the trans community. They just get kind of lumped in the background.
Put in the backdrop.
Yeah, and it's not fair, I don't feel. If you have an opinion, or I'd like to know your opinion of the state marriage bill or any of the stories that we're talking about tonight, jump on, text in on 0427-JOY-949, or you can call front desk 1300-JOY-949, or shoot us an email on onair@joy.org.au because we'd like to know what you think.
Pride colours like sports teams. The Taylor Square Rainbow Crossing is at risk of removal after the state roads minister made comments suggesting the state government will not seek to override the crossing's scheduled removal at the end of the month. In a response to a question on the crossing status from Greens MLC Kate Farman, Nationals MP Duncan Gay raised the issue of road safety and compared the LGBTI community's use of the rainbow as an emblem with the colours of a football team. Gay criticised City of Sydney Council for pushing ahead with the project. Council approved a $35,000 budget hike on the project on the night of February 25 to pay for the crossing's removal at the end of March. Council originally approved the establishment of two permanent rainbow crossings at Taylor Square, but Roads and Maritime Services stipulated that the crossing be temporary. Fairman said Gay's comments showed he doesn't understand the significance of the crossing to the LGBTI community. Gay has referred any decisions on the crossing to the New South Wales Centre for Road Safety. A petition to keep the rainbow crossing by independent Sydney MP Alex Greenwich has hit 10,000 signatures. It's basically just a crossing with rainbow colours that they want to take down.
I think it does hold a lot of significance. I think that Gay's comments are a bit... I think they're just a bit ignorant in the sense that they're likening it to the sports team.
How convenient that his name is Gay. So you just
you know, the irony is totally lost on me. Like, you'd think he'd be a bit more supportive. Or maybe he got picked on.
So I have no remorse.
No remorse?
No remorse whatsoever.
Well, I think that what he has said is ignorant, but I don't know. I think the cost as well. Like, a lot of people may not have wanted their tax dollars to go to the Rainbow Crossing. You know, that's
a valid point.
That's just something that I'm just mulling over. But I think for the area, I think it does wonders. I mean, Oxford Street and that whole part of Sydney is like known for how it's queer community.
That's right.
That's where we're safe. That's where we go when we go to Sydney.
We don't go to King's Cross, people. Well, I don't anyway.
I went there for the first time like a couple of years ago, and I thought I was expecting to be like Underbelly. I rocked up in there. I was like, yeah, pimping. It's really quiet, and no one makes eye contact with anyone. They just keep like scuttling down.
Oh, that's no fun. I like a bit of eye contact, perhaps a bit of a cheeky smile. But
yeah, what about a wink?
No,
I think
wink,
I blink then.
Only maybe if I'm not in the right frame of mind.
A party at Circuit over the weekend was hosted to raise funding for HIV awareness and anti-stigma and the anti-stigma campaign Enough. DJ Peter McNamara was on decks on Saturday with plenty in store for the patrons, including hot guys and entertainment. I wish I went to this.
You should have.
I should have.
I heard hot guys. I was like, well, I should have been there as well.
Yeah. You do love a six pack, don't you?
I really do.
With a six pack.
I don't know what it is. It's,
yeah.
It just is. I can't explain it. I'm fascinated by them. Like I usually, I'll ask a stranger if I think they got a six pack, I will ask to touch it.
Yeah.
Just cause I can. So it's a free country. I'm entitled to my opinion. Brisbane Sexual Health Clinic comes to a close. The Brisbane Sexual Health Clinic on Roma Street, which offers services that explicitly deal with people living with HIV, will be effectively closed, the Metro North Hospital Board has announced. In a move that has already drawn criticism from the LGBTI community, the clinic and its specific HIV department, formerly known as the AIDS Medical Unity, will be targeted to only dealing with more complex cases, according to the chairman, Dr. Paul Alexander. Alexander Metro North Health Authority said that most of the clinic services are redundant as clients can obtain the same services from GPs. The clinics have for years offered a free, confidential walk-in service to people concerned about exposure to HIV, other STIs and emergency contraception. Can't believe they're shutting it down.
And I don't. This is what's the one thing that really irritates me is that these places that deal with this issue exclusively, they've got a different attitude. And it's not like if you were to go to an GP, and you wouldn't get the same. I don't think you'd get the same respect.
It's like a specialty. They specifically prioritize their knowledge and everything in that section. So I agree. I definitely agree.
And at least that you know, I think that if I were in that scenario, I would much prefer going to somewhere where there is, I guess, more of an understanding and more of an exposure. Yeah. Instead of going somewhere where it might be like, you know, once every couple of months, they'd be...
I agree. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Well, you'd hope. But who knows?
Mm. That's why, like, as a young person, I like going to the doctors that just hand out, like, medical certificates like candy. You know, they're used to this. They know what to do when they see someone under the age of 25. Medical certificate.
That's what we're here for.
That's what I'm there for. Thank you, my doctor. We've got more Generation Next and Gay School coming up right after this. We've got a whole heap of new music that we play tonight as well. But I'm not going to break the theme. Here's some Like Giants, Slowly Sinking.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Real people, real topics. Joy 94.9.
7:45, this is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. We're smack bang in the middle of Gay School. What's some interesting stuff to talk about at any point throughout the rest of the show? Feel free to join in on the conversation. Send us a text on 0427-JOY-949. Or if you have something a little bit longer you want to say, shoot us an email on onair@joy.org.au.
Federal Liberal candidate Kevin Eckendale says he hopes coalition MPs who privately support same-sex marriage show their hand after Higgins MP Kelly O'Dwyer backed the issue this week. Recent polls have shown approximately 64% of Australians support marriage equality, while a poll last August found 52% of coalition voters supported the change. O'Dwyer said the coalition party room had not yet debated what their policy on the issue would be for the upcoming election, but added her party would honour last election's commitment to oppose a change to the Marriage Act until then. Marriage equality advocates have lobbied the Higgins electorate for some time. Australian Marriage Equality National Director Rodney Croom said that we have met with Kelly O'Dwyer a number of times and her heart and mind have continued to open to support equality for gay and lesbian Australians. Her position is reflective of her electorate and further demonstrates the growing support amongst coalition members. So it's growing. Mm. Which is great. I'm pretty sure Tony Abbott is not included in that, but still, it's a work in progress.
I was actually watching one of the later talk shows on ABC television, and I can't remember which one it was, but someone was saying that neither Tony Abbott or Julia Gillard want to make a discussion or have it a change on the policy because they're worried that it's going to cost them not like positive votes, but it'll lose maybe some seats where it's like integral for their polling.
For the upcoming election.
Yeah, yeah, which is really sad.
Sad, yeah.
Yeah.
A bit slightly selfish, but at the end of the day, they want to win, so I guess they'll do whatever they can.
I just would love to see it like in 10 or 20 years when it's like, hey, kids, they used to not let us get married.
Yeah, just like interracial couples couldn't get married.
That's exactly right. And they even protested when they tried to change those laws. They protested when they tried to change the laws surrounding...
Oh, through everything. I mean, back in... Even in World... I mean, this is going way back, but even World War II, like, you couldn't marry Jewish people if you were German or any other... That was the law that the Nazi Party put through.
Yeah.
Just saying. I don't know why I said that. It was something that just came to my mind.
Well, it's just as... Like, one day it's just going to be as ridiculous as, you know, us same-sex people not... Same-sex attracted not being able to marry each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't plan on getting married, Dylan, do you?
Not particularly. I'm not really a romantic person.
You know what? Neither am I, but I think I was talking to someone not a while ago, but they said that, I mean, a lot of people don't plan on getting married, but they'd like to have the option. Because you never know. I mean, you might meet someone and you definitely want to marry. You're like, you changed your mind. So
true.
The option is there, just like anybody else. I mean, straight people don't necessarily get married. I know a lot of them in de facto relationships, but the option is there.
It is there. But I think one thing that we have in our favour is that we're not going to have a shotgun wedding. That's one thing that will not happen.
Oh, definitely. Because we'll definitely make it count.
Gay Health Committee arrives. More than 20 Victorians have been selected for the long-awaited Queer Health Committee to address issues affecting the LGBTI community, such as HIV and homophobia. The state government has chosen 23 members for its Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender and Intersex Ministerial Advisory Committee, also known as the GLBTI-MAC. Yeah. It's been more than 2 years since the coalition formed government after pledging to introduce a similar committee to what former Labor governments had used. This is an important partnership approach with communities. It's a mechanism for people to make their views known, but to also focus on delivering better results. Health Minister David Davis has been quoted saying... I love it when I get the quotes right, like that, just then.
That's how it just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, exactly.
A new Perth MP backs marriage change. Newly elected Perth MP Eleni Evangel says she supports same-sex marriage, joining a small but growing number of coalition parliamentarians who publicly support the issue. But marriage equality advocates are calling on Deputy Coalition Leader and Federal MP for Curtin, Julie Bishop, to follow Evangel's lead, given their electorate's overlap. The Australian newspaper reported last week that the mother of three backed the change to the Marriage Act to allow same-sex attracted couples to marry. I had the right to be married. I don't see why a gay person shouldn't have the right to be married. It's quite simple, she said. Evangel ousted long-serving Shadow Arts Minister John Hyde, who was the first openly gay man to be elected to the Western Australian Parliament in 2001. So that's another progress, slowly, step by step. I'm pretty impressed.
Well, moving over to Italy, I can't segue today. I'm just not human writing today.
It's Monday.
Everyone cares. I care. The new Pope. The Catholic Church shows no sign of altering its stance on marriage equality for the LGBT community, electing George Bergoglio.
Yeah.
New Pope Francis I as pontiff, Bergoglio has a long history of opposing equality for gays and lesbians in Argentina. He called marriage for gays and lesbians a lie aimed at confusing and fooling the children of God, and also referred to marriage for gays and lesbians as a destructive pretension against the plan of God. He's been known to argue in the past that adoption by gay parents discriminated against children.
Bless the Pope.
Bless the Pope. I'm not a religious person, and sometimes with these stories, it makes me confirm my belief.
In one ear, out the other, let's face it. Like, I mean, a lot of people aren't really religious these days. That's just my experience.
That's the thing. That's what, especially with the Vatican, because they're losing touch with the younger people.
Yeah, and the younger people probably don't want to follow that because they say stupid things like that.
Yeah.
Gay discrimination reforms have gone ahead. The Federal Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus, has walked away from government's controversial reforms to consolidate five discrimination acts into one, but will continue to introduce sexuality and gender diversity protections in national law. Dreyfus announced the government will push ahead on protections for LGBTI people by amending the Sex Discrimination Act, taking on the coalition's suggested policy since the last election. However, the future of the proposed removal of religious exemptions for aged care services has come into question since they were attached to the consolidation bill. Dreyfus said he would introduce the sex discrimination amendment into Parliament this week and urged all MPs to pass it. It will ensure gay, lesbian and transgender and intersex Australians are afforded the same protections under Australian law as all other Australians, he said. This reform is long overdue and much too important to be delayed any longer. He said it built on some 85 gay reforms introduced by the Labor government in 2008. So, yes, I just thought that was a very interesting article.
I have to agree. Now, the anti-discrimination acts, they are quite interesting. And they're really going to affect a whole heap of people.
Without even realising.
Yeah.
They won't even realise. It's just one of those things that will be swept under the rug. A majority of it anyway.
Yeah. And that's what I'm worried about is the fact that I think that this is one of these bills that need to actually take their time. I don't care if people have to recheck it and recheck it and recheck it because it's something.
It's important.
Yeah, and they have to get it right. They absolutely have to get it right.
Otherwise, people are just going to find loopholes here and they'll be discriminated there.
And absolutely. Look at the gay panic law in Queensland that's been upheld. When a man was beaten to death.
It's ridiculous.
It is pretty ridiculous. It's not very... Yeah, so take your time, politicians, in getting the anti-discrimination
getting
bill.
It right.
Get it right the first time. Civil unions for Colorado. Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper this week signed a civil union bill into law in the U.S. state giving gay and lesbian couples many of the same benefits extended to heterosexual spouses. Colorado House Speaker Mark Ferrandino, a gay Democrat who backed the bill, said Colorado's law will now extend equally to all. Ladies and gentlemen, the Colorado sun now warms all our people. Thousands of Colorado families will now be able to receive the recognition they deserve, he's been quoted as saying.
That's good as. Mm. Well done, Colorado. We may come visit one day.
Yeah, we may. Hey, well, we had our lovely guest, trans ally, Steph. She's, well...
She went to Colorado.
She went to Colorado. Yeah, she's skiing in Colorado.
That's right.
She's a ski instructor there. Hey, we've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
What's up? I'm Stan Walker, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Generation Next. Love it.
It's 4 minutes to wait. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. You've been joined tonight by Dil and Vic.
The Husky Vic.
The Husky Vic. Look, I'd say your voice is hot tonight.
Really?
Really hot.
I'm going to have to record myself and... listen back. I get a lot of good compliments, but at work, people hang up on me because they think they had the wrong number.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, they probably think they're calling a 1-300 number.
Yeah.
Hey, we are going to cruise out of here, but stick around for Worldwide Waves. And also, just a quick announcement that this week it is La Trobe Uni's Pride Week. So you want to check out Joy for this week because we've got some really awesome shows coming up.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
We'll see you next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.